What is up, everybody? Welcome to the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. This is our weekly waiver wire show, and this is week six. I'm your host, Frank Costanzo. You can follow me on Twitter at FrankQBList. I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Ryan Heath. You can follow Ryan at QBL Ryan. And of course, please follow the website at the QB List. Ryan, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. I had a pretty good weekend. Nice weekend of watching football. It was actually perfect until I witnessed one of the more gruesome injuries I've ever seen on TV.
Dak
Prescott ankle injury was really hard to watch. But
it's pretty bad. And, you know, you just kind of feel bad for the guy with, you know, him coming out with all of the mental health stuff. He just seems like a really good dude. And then, you know, kind of, I don't want to say the Cowboys, you know, screwed him over with the contract, but he's definitely, you know, this was like a big season for him. So it's definitely just tough to see as, you know, just a fan of football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the best part was afterwards, I got to go on Twitter and read all the hot takes about how it's his fault somehow that he got injured and that he should have signed a contract before the season.
It's ridiculous seeing stuff like that. You know, it's just terrible.
Well, it life goes on, I guess. So what do you think about the waiver wire this week?
You know, I think – I don't – it's been a rough 3 weeks for us, I think. I guess I'd kind of put in the class like last week. Like, it's okay, but again, it's not – I don't think it's amazing. Like, there was the one week, I guess it was, you know, Mike Davis week or whatever, where it was like, it was a, you know, there's some big moves to make. This week, again, I think it's kind of just like, it's all right, kind of wait and see guys for the most part. What about you?
Yeah, we really haven't seen any of these like big injuries to any of these like workhorse running backs for a while, which I mean is probably good overall for fantasy football. But at the same time, there's not a whole lot that you're able to do on the waiver wire to improve your team, at least not immediately.
And, you know, there was kind of one potential injury to a workhorse back. We'll kind of talk about that later on, but I, you know, we'll get into that a little bit more, but all right. So let's get started. Our number one, you know, not really in any order, but again, also, you know, 40% owned on Yahoo and under, that's what we're looking at for these guys. So the obvious number one guy we got to talk about this week is Chase Claypool. I mean, when you put up four touchdowns in a week, you know, I think the whole world has to like start talking about you. So it was a good performance by him. You know, he had 11 targets, which led the team. No one else had more than five. I mean, he obviously has an enormous ceiling, as you saw. He's an athletic freak. I mean, if you look at his spider chart from the combine, it's just basically fully maxed out. I think he's like 95 percentile in like almost every single testing number. It's like crazy. You know, I don't want to like put a dampen on it, but I don't know how fully we want to buy into this. I mean, Deontay Johnson obviously left the game with a back injury, and I don't know how much of Chase Claypool's like usage was brought on because of that. I mean, he only ran 28 routes compared to Juju's 40, and James Washington was still above him at 38 as well. So, and we also don't know the severity of Deontay Johnson's injury right now. So I think Chase Claypool is a guy you obviously add for sure. And you kind of just see how it plays out, because we also want to see it when Deontay Johnson comes back, like, how is this going to shake out? I think, you know, I've never been a James Washington believer period. So I think Chase Claypool's, I think he should be leaping James Washington. I mean, I think he's already shown he's a better player than him. But, you know, is it going to be kind of like a spread out three kind of guy, you know, target share? And we don't really know who's going to have that week every week. So I don't think he's like an obvious, like, you start him 100% moving forward, you know?
Yeah, the routes run are really interesting, and obviously the injury to Deontay is something you have to keep in mind. Yeah. But I just remember I was sitting there watching this all go down and just saying, I will never again question the Steelers like wide receiver evaluation.
I know
they always seem to hit on these guys in the middle rounds that no one's really super excited about, and then the Steelers draft them, and it's like, I wonder what the rest of the league doesn't. It's insane, but yeah, I will never be questioning their talent evaluation ever again.
Yeah, some people are like, oh, he should move to tight end and stuff. I think everyone can, we could stop that talk for sure after the performance. I mean, they were Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Juju, Deontay Johnson, now Chase Claypool, Emmanuel Sanders. Like, I mean, it's just like the list is crazy. They just clearly have an eye for the position. So, but yeah, I mean, overall, you know, go ahead, Adam, especially if you're hurting that wide receiver. But I don't want to make it sound like that this is the guy that for the rest of the year, you know, all of a sudden he's just stardom all the time. Like, I don't know. What do you think? Am I crazy?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I don't think anybody on the list this week is the guy. There are a few that could become the guy. Like, we have to see usage going forward. And I mean, Claypool could, who knows, he could play himself into a lot more playing time after scoring four touchdowns. Like, that wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. But
no, of course, it's definitely on the table. And I guess you could also make the argument too that they did have like their bye last week and stuff, so they kind of were able to see like, okay, what do we want to do moving forward? How are we going to like change things up a little bit? And they came out and he has 11 targets, like basically doubles anyone else on the team. So maybe that's I do like him as a player, and I think that they're a great offense. I would want to be attached to that. I just don't know if you're going to see this all the time. So. All right, I guess we can move on. Who's number two?
All right, so number two this week, we've got Travis Fulgham. He's only rostered in 3% of leagues. So he had 13 targets yesterday, caught 10 of them for 152 yards and a touchdown, was pretty clearly leading the way for the Eagles receivers, seemed to be Wentz's favorite. John Hightower did have more air yards, but when you're getting 13 targets, it's hard to argue with it. Fulgham did outsnap Greg Ward, who is someone a lot of people had their eyes on going into the week. Fulgham himself, he's pretty built. He's 6'2", 215. He produced like crazy his senior year at Old Dominion. Didn't really do much before that. Got picked in the late rounds, I think in the sixth round last year. Mm-hmm. And just kind of washed out of Detroit's practice squad. And now he's on Philadelphia, and he showed up in a big way on Sunday with the opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. I think, someone had to get the targets, and we were all trying to make guesses. Like you said, Greg Ward was J.J. Arcega-Whiteside going to be there? Clearly no. Who was the other one? Oh, yeah, John Hightower. It was kind of a dart throw with all of them. Kind of seems like Fulgham ended up obviously being the guy. I'm kind of surprised that he was only at 3%, especially like the week before he had a pretty decent game too. I thought, probably would have got picked up a little bit more than 3%. But again, I'm going to be the downer again for this one. I think he's earned himself a spot on this team for sure, and he will be involved part going forward. But, DeSean Jackson's coming back at some point. Alshon Jeffrey, I guess, is coming back at some point. I don't really know. And also Jalen Reagor, their first-round pick, will be coming back at some point too. So maybe Fulgham has, two more games. I don't know even when these guys are coming back that, he'll be the number one. But, again, when those guys come back, I can't imagine he's going to be just having 13 targets and taking over this game. Maybe Alshon doesn't play as much, and maybe he kind of takes that kind of role from him.
But it's definitely possible that Alshon and DeSean Jackson are both just pretty washed at this point. Yeah, I think it's likely with Alshon, especially coming back from an injury. He's been on PUP all year.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe we're not super excited rest of season for Fulgham. He could get a game or two here or there. But I mean, in Dynasty, definitely someone to pay attention to.
For but sure.
Yeah, he's not the magic bullet, and nobody is this week. So
yeah. Right. And like you said, we don't know full on the rest of the season, but I do think in the short term, if you need a wide receiver, I think it's great to go chase those 13 targets. Like, I'm not going to fault you for that. I just want everyone to, temper their expectations going forward. Like, I don't think he's going to be the wide receiver one on this team forever. I do think they really like Jalen Reagor, and I think he's definitely going to have a large role when he comes back.
Yeah, Rager definitely flashed before he got injured. Yeah. I would really expect him to take over going forward as soon as he can get back on the field.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so who do we have next?
Yeah, so number three, we got lucky with this one. Alexander Mattison, he's at 40%, just at our line. So yeah, pretty much everyone knows why we're going to talk about this, and we kind of hinted at the top. Dalvin Cook had a groin injury. The MRI came back. They said it looks okay. We don't know if he's going to play this week, but they do have a bye the week after, so I wouldn't be shocked if they hold on and just, like, sit him out so that he can get fully healthy with the 2 weeks, you know, get that groin right. So Alexander Mattison would walk into an extremely large workload against a very juicy matchup with the Atlanta Falcons. You know, once Cook was out, Alexander Mattison outsnapped Mike Boone 43-5, and he outtouched him 23-2. So clearly he was the guy. Boone might see a little bit more than that, but I think Mattison, they really like him, and they want him to be the lead back if Dalvin's out. So even if you get 1 week out of him, pick him up, you can easily start him. I mean, he would against the Falcons, he's like a must start. If Dalvin's out, and then even going forward, he's probably one of the top three, maybe the number one, like, handcuff running back too. So it wouldn't be the worst thing to have on your roster also, you know?
Yeah, it is almost time for, I would say, for the better. So if you have rosters that are really good that maybe are 5-0 or 4-1, it's probably time to start looking at stashing some of these handcuffs for your running backs. I mean, if Dalvin Cook's on your team, you're probably doing decently well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, he really should be more than 40% owned regardless, like Dalvin injury notwithstanding. So definitely something to look at this week.
Yeah, I didn't even think he was going to be able to be on our list, but we got lucky with that. So, yeah, it's a pretty obvious one. Again, though, like the other two going forward, you know, it may be a 1 week, 2 week kind of thing, but, you know, we have to see.
Yeah. It's also right. Like, go ahead. It's a type of thing where Dalvin Cook could get on the practice field on Friday and tweak his groin again and be out for another couple of weeks. Like, yeah. You never know.
Exactly. Yeah. So definitely, he's definitely an ad, and probably, you know, I guess he'd be your number one waiver claim. Like if you need a running back for sure, because you know you could start him this week and have a great matchup. So,
yeah, it's a soft number one, but
yeah. yeah, for sure. All right, who's the next guy?
All right, so next we're going to talk about Andy Dalton. As I mentioned previously, Dak Prescott's ankle injury was gruesome. I can't imagine that he's going to be anywhere near a football field for the rest of the year. No. So that leaves us with Andy Dalton heading up this Cowboys offense. I would say he's probably a solid QB2 for the rest of the season. Like the weapons that the Cowboys have on offense with Gallup, Lamb, and Cooper is just insane. And that offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott. Like, I mean, any QB could probably do moderately well in that situation. And Dalton's not the worst. So we could potentially see some really good games out of him. The Cowboys defense is horrible. They're in negative game script constantly. Like, we could really see Dalton have some blow up games. And even in one QB leagues, I mean, he's a guy that we're going to be considering streaming a lot if you're still streaming QBs. So I would say he's worth like a little bit of your budget, maybe if you're worried about your QB position going forward.
Yeah. And like super flex 2 QB, he's an automatic pickup. And in, like you said, in regular leagues, he's going to be a guy we're going to think about streaming. And he is in a great situation. I mean, this is why we love Dak. We think, I mean, obviously Dak is a much better player than Andy Dalton, but a lot of the reason why everyone really liked Dak this year was because of this. You know what I mean? Like, he was primed to be in a spot where he was going to be throwing the ball like crazy, which he was. I mean, he was on pace for like, what, like 800 pass attempts or something this year, like, which was never going to happen. But, you know, that's why a lot of people were chasing this. So Andy Dalton will have, like you said, he's going to have his week. So who are they playing this week? Do you know? Off the top of your head?
I do not know off the top of my head. This is something I should have looked at before we went on air.
It's fine. But, you know, maybe he's not the streamer this week, but you're going to keep him on your radar all year long.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, who do you have next?
Right, so now we're going to move on to Mecole Hardman, also just barely made the list at 40% owned. So Sammy Watkins has a hamstring injury and he's going to miss the next few weeks per Adam Schefter. And, you know, Hardman's always a guy that I think everyone just sees the talent immediately. And because of like his speed, just like Tyreek Hill, he's in a very efficient player because he's just going to get chunk yardage consistently. So now, but the problem with Hardman this whole time was that he was just, he really wasn't playing all that much. He was kind of the wide receiver four, which, you know, I don't understand why they were doing that, but I guess they only wanted him in for, you know, certain type of plays. But now with Sammy getting hurt, Hardman jumped to 50 snaps this week. He played, you know, two snaps more than DeMarcus Robinson, who's also, you know, I guess someone that you could look at adding if you wanted to. But Hardman running ahead of DeMarcus Robinson is great to see. And I just think that with this is full, if Hardman becomes, you know, even the wide receiver three on that team behind DeMarcus Robinson and Tyreek Hill, like he's going to have a, like really plenty of chances to have boom weeks. I mean, he is just like Tyreek Hill, he's a freak and you want to get the ball in his hands and let him go. So I think that Hardman's someone that we should be chasing and adding to our benches and just seeing if he pops.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with Hardman up to now is just that he hasn't had the role. Like you said, like he's essentially just been a backup and the talent is obvious. The explosiveness is obvious, but yeah, it went hopefully he does make the most of whatever opportunity this might be with Watkins out. And he is definitely someone to maybe get kind of excited about going forward. Like, again, I don't want to like put expectations super high because it's Sammy Watkins being injured. If it were Tyreek Hill and cutting out an even larger target share in this offense, then maybe we could talk. But I don't want to like go crazy, but if he's stashed on your roster, you should feel pretty good right now.
Yeah, exactly. We just want to see the role grow. And I think, you know, last week also they were in a kind of spot where they were chasing the game, which is not really normal for the Chiefs. So maybe that is part of it too. But I do think that like this is the kind of guy that you want to have on your bench because if the role grows, he has the chance to explode all the time. So, yeah, that's why I'll probably be looking at him. I already actually have him on a couple teams, so that's pretty nice. I'm pretty happy about that. All right, who's next?
All right, next we're going to talk about Laviska Shenault. I'm pretty sure we've mentioned him before on this podcast.
Yeah, I think we have.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a player that I've been a big fan of for a while. So the big question here is that DJ Chark left the game with I think it was an ankle injury.
Yeah,
late in the game on Sunday. I don't think we've really gotten an injury update on him yet.
I haven't seen anything either.
Yeah, which is interesting because Laviska Shenault was sitting there and putting up a 70% snap share in his absence. I mean, he was running as the number two behind Keelan Cole, pretty clearly ahead of the other guys they have, Chris Conley and Colin Johnson. When Laviska Shenault gets eight targets, he's eventually going to bust off a big play.
Yeah.
And it didn't really happen this week. Seven of eight for 79 yards. But it is coming with him. This guy is super dynamic. He's an absolute tackle breaking machine, like 6'1", 227. They were deploying him some in the running game too, even just because they wanted to get the ball in this guy's hands earlier in the year. But yeah, he's someone that I would feel really good about picking up and stashing and seeing what happens with the Chark injury.
Yeah, definitely. He's kind of like a Debo-ish type player, you know, where they want to just kind of get him in space and let him move. If that's with end arounds or putting him in the backfield or just like short screens or slants, things like that, they want to get him moving. And he's really effective at that. I mean, if you've seen any of his plays, like there's times where he just catches, bounces straight off a defender and keeps moving. Like he's tough to bring down. It's actually awesome to watch. And like you said, early in the year, I guess they weren't sure how to exactly have him out like running routes exactly, but they wanted him involved. He was getting like seven rush attempts in the first 2 weeks, and that slowly transitioned away from rushing attempts to targets. Like the eight targets this week, he had like six the past two each of the past two. So clearly this is a guy they want involved. And now, like you said, with Chark being hurt again, another guy that could see a nice little bump in playing time and in targets. So
Yeah. Again, we just want to see what happens. We've got a lot of talented players on this waiver wire that we just need to see what happens with their roles.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's kind of similar to Mecole and to Chase Claypool. You know, these guys, like, the people above him got hurt. They started getting more playing time. You want to hold them and see now how does that play out going forward, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, who do you have?
So this is our last guy. also 40% owned, so we just made the cut. And I feel really gross saying this, but it's Jimmy Graham. Just kind of like last week with Drew Sample, we're just chasing at tight end, and we just got to find the guy that sticks. Hopefully he's getting targeted plenty of times by Foles. He's fifth in the NFL in red zone targets. I mean, there's really not much more to say other than that. A tight end, we just got to hope for a touchdown. And if you're getting the fifth most red zone targets, not just in tight ends, this is with everybody. So, I mean, clearly he's getting used down there. I mean, there's not much better.
I think he's actually leading the position in red zone targets. Yeah,
he is, and he's fifth in the NFL. So, like, that's a guy you have to have at tight end, because that's all we can really hope for most of these guys, is just they fall into the end zone. So, yeah, I don't love it, but yeah. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I don't have much to add about Jimmy Graham. Just tight ends, an absolute dumpster fire this year, like it is every year. Maybe even more. Every year it feels like tight end is more of a dumpster fire. Like, it's never been this bad before, but
I know
it always is.
Yeah, we talked about Drew Sample last week. We had it written on the sheet too, Robert Tonyan, but he was still playing after we recorded, because we always record before the Monday night games. I wish I called my shot on that one, because he blew up. But and now he's like, I think he's up to like 60-70% on, maybe even higher than that, so we can't talk about him either. But Jimmy Graham, yeah, chase the touchdowns. You got any quick mentions you want to hit?
Yeah, so I actually do this week. I know it's crazy for once. I have something to say when you go to me.
Okay, planned.
But we just sticking with the theme of tight end being a dumpster fire and grasping at straws. Irv Smith had 5 targets last night, which you might have missed. Mm-hmm. He is still splitting time with Kyle Rudolph, but we should probably keep an eye on him. He was definitely a talented prospect that a lot of people were high on coming into the year. The Vikings just haven't been targeting their tight ends very much, and that changed last night somewhat. So he's someone to watch. I wouldn't go burn a waiver pickup on him, but see if his role continues to grow.
Yeah, I'd put him on my watch list, or if I have a really deep bench, yeah, you can throw him on there to stash. But yeah, I mean, that's how you can tell that this is kind of gross. We're talking about Irv Smith. He got 5 targets. Woo! I like the player too, but it's just tough out there with tight ends. I will add just a quick mention again, Chase Edmonds. We wanted to get out ahead of him last week. Now he's at like 56% owned. So we probably would have had him back on this list if he was at 40%. But, you know, we were trying to call our shot last week that the split between him and Kenyon Drake was going to get closer. And it has been. I think he officially ran more like passing routes than him last week too. So, again, keep holding Edmonds if you got him. And also, if he's still available in your league, I would be picking him up.
Oh yeah, Edmonds looked great. Like he's clearly like an actual part of this Cardinals passing offense now. And I mean, Drake did finally get in the end zone this weekend, but we could see a shift in the workload start like continue. So yeah,
I think so.
Really, really excited for Chase Edmonds.
Agreed. All right, everybody, that's all we got for you for this week 6. I am Frank Costanzo. You can follow me at FrankQBList. That was my host, Ryan Heath. You can follow him at QBLRyan. Please follow the website at TheQBList, and please subscribe and listen. We got Start Sit podcast coming out later this week. Thanks, everybody.